DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB. Today we have a special guest with us. We have Craig Toxis from the community. Welcome. How are you, Craig Toxis?
Hi everybody, and I'm good. I'm feeling a little bit of neck pain today, but I'm all right.
Neck pain. Did you sleep wrong? Is it just something that flares up? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm guessing I slept wrong.
Or stress? Does stress manifest that way in you and like that muscles?
It could very well be too.
I'm gonna say you're kind of under some stress here. Little bit. So we were talking earlier about snow, how it's cold where you're at and it's cold where I'm at. So we figured this was a good day to sit down and do an interview. Right. So tell me, how long have you guys, you and your lovely wife, your wife is Missy Unicorn. If people don't know who that is in the community, I have hopes to get her on sometime on the podcast as well, because she does some really cool, interesting things too in her day life and her hobbies and what she likes to do. So how long have you guys been with us?
How long we've been together? We've been together now 8 years total. We've been married going on 4 this year.
Awesome.
5 this year, actually. I'm sorry. I couldn't actually say hello, but she's being shy.
That's okay. That's all right. We'll get her on eventually, and she'll have to be in. Well, hello. We're glad you're sitting there listening to us, Missy.
Yeah.
So there she is. So how long have you and her been part of our community? Give me off the top of your head. I can look.
About 3 years now.
It was COVID.
Since the lockdown of COVID and everybody had to stay inside.
Wow. Yeah. That right. July 5th, 2020. That's when it shows on when you guys joined. So you've been with us for quite some time too. Eddie V. He's been on. We figured out yesterday that he's been with us since November of 2020. So the 2020 mark looks like where everybody's at this point in time. That's quite a long time. So tell me, from the time that you started on the site to now, tell me about the differences that you've noticed.
I've actually learned a lot about myself. I think I've actually made quite a few strides with, we had a short fuse, you could say, actually, and not so much no more, actually. It seems like I can deal with things and process a whole lot better.
That's good. Do you think the exposure to being on the site has helped with that? Is that what
Oh, yes, massively, actually. Having other people to talk to that actually go through a lot of the same things and... It just in general, the love that comes from the community actually is absolutely amazing.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I think the personality of the site is just absolutely beautiful because people are willing to sit and have a conversation, sit and talk to each other. Sit and share stories. The thing that I notice is we don't sit in there and we don't do what I call the one-uppers. You know, somebody has a story or somebody has something they're dealing with. You very seldom see anybody come in that's like, I'm going to trump your story. I'm going to tell you, you know, this is you. Well, this is what, we don't get a lot of that. We legitimately get a lot of people that actually they care. and that's really awesome because you go to other platforms. If other people use other platforms and you don't get that. I was talking with somebody last night about how other social media platforms have caused some really bad habits with people. Like they come into our community and they just assume, it's like Facebook or they assume it's like X, and they just, you know, it the way that some come in and the first thing that's on their mind is all they want to do is they want to find where they can get DMT. And it's like, I understand that the title of our platform is DMT World. I understand to the you know, the normal person coming into that, that's very tempting. But it's also kind of a slap in the face when somebody just comes in and the first thing they're asking is where they can get DMT. And I think there are 100 million other platforms out there that can be asked, you know. And so I can't take it too personal, because I know that those people don't know. But again, it's kind of a slap in the face when that happens. So I'm glad that you are aware that the people have helped you change for the better and dealing with things, especially with anger, dealing with a lot of that is very hard. And that's where people are very important, because anger management is something that I know a lot of us deal with on the site. So that's good. I'm glad that that's something that you feel that it has bettered you. So, so I would like to talk about, how did you find DMT World? First of all,
so actually I was, tripping. I don't quite remember the dosage. I was on acid and I was looking for actual like fractal apps and things like that. And I stumbled across the DMT World actually in the app store. And I was like, well, I need to check this out.
Right. Absolutely. That's how I found DMT groups too. It was, I was tripping on acid one night and I was on my Facebook at this point in time. I think it was during the first presidential election, and I was hating Facebook. I was hating everything about Facebook. Cause you just saw the garbage. And I can remember one of my friends was like, well, do you utilize the group section? And I'm like, no, why would I do that? You know, why would I do that? And she's like, well, because like you can find groupings of people that are interested in some of the things you are. So therefore it takes off some of the stress of the politic posts and all the other posts that I was seeing. And I thought, okay, I'll try this little trick. And so my son came home and gave me acid, and I hadn't tripped on acid for quite some time. And I remember sitting down with my phone, and the next thing I know, I'm like scrolling through, and I had visited some groups and searched up groups. Of course, that kicks it up in the algorithms. And so all of a sudden I start seeing stuff, and I see this picture, and it's this chick putting mascara on her third eye. And it's like, maybe it's the DMT. And I'm like, what is this picture? And I clicked the picture, and I looked to, cause you could, that's when you could see what group it came from, that it suggested from. And that's, I clicked that. It was like, I think the group on Facebook at that time was DMT's Hidden History. And that was the first DMT group I ever got into. And it was a group based out of the UK. And I loved this group because this is the group that I learned how to extract in. Like I was a bottom surfer. I didn't talk to anybody. I just sat in there and I read and I looked at the files and I looked at all the stuff. And it was like, I was like, I'm going to do this. And that was just one night on acid, just surfing into the group. So I totally get it when you, especially when you're on acid or you're on a psychedelic and that thing comes to you and you're like, oh, this is meant for me. I know that that's what that aha moment for you was, like, DMT World, what is that? And it's like, oh, you know, the heavens opened up and it's like, oh, this is the greatest gift I've ever gotten.
Maybe that's exactly how it went.
And here you are in 2024 sitting on the podcast having an interview with me. See, that's awesome. What a lot of people in the community may not know is we actually got to meet, me, you, and Missy Unicorn, and then my daughter and everybody got, we all got to meet because you guys came to the Ethneo Fest and met up with us and got to hang out with us. So that was super, cool. What did you think about that? What did you think about being at the campus and like being there and like looking around? I mean, that to me was kind of a, I'm from Kansas. We like nothing's legal here. It's all illegal. So to be able to be in an open air like that and then one talking about it and then like being people giving out free stuff. What did you guys actually think about that?
So that was definitely a first actually for me being in that kind of scenario. Usually the scene that I gravitate towards is more like music festivals and not so legal. Yep. But same. This is definitely like different. I was on the other side of it, and it being handed out freely, it kind of threw me for a loop.
We're still always looking over our shoulders.
Yeah, that's how I felt the whole time.
I did too, and we're sitting there with the camera, and you know, there is that in the back of my brain. There is that apprehensive of, oh my gosh, you know, can we be doing this? It's that in our brain, and for some of us, we're gonna always live with that. Unfortunately, because we lived through the war on drugs, we lived through that era, so we're always going to in our brains. I think I will never be able to let go of that impending fear of getting in trouble for doing something, even if I'm standing in a state that's legal. And that's what I find. I like even smoking cannabis, like going somewhere and standing out. It's like standing on that campus and us just smoking that big fat joint on a baby's arm. And being able to do it in the open, like it was really strange. And then like to have my daughter there too, like even more for her, because that is, you know, she's at least young enough that she can grow into her adult year with hopefully the relief of the legality aspect. Like we're getting closer and closer and closer. Yeah, we live in Kansas, but we're going to Casey Moe and it's legal there. We go up to Ann Arbor and it's legal there. So I'm trying to hopefully not program her brain into being scared to do things openly like that, especially when it is legal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Missy wants to say something.
Like when we were at Ethnofest, we walked by, I don't know how many people that were just openly selling mushroom bars. I'm like, I want to get one, but I don't. Am I going to get in trouble? Ended up getting one, getting a few and having them in my purse, but I was so nervous the whole damn day. Like, I was like, I'm going to come. I want to put my shrooms up before I get in trouble.
Right, because we live under the blanket of shame when it comes to utilizing substances, and we really shouldn't have to anymore. I really don't think so.
But what it definitely makes me want to be more involved. Like, I want to be a vendor at one of those.
I completely get what you're saying with the thought process, though. Like, just sitting outside and smoking is a whole ordeal for me, and I feel like I still should not be doing it.
Vaping. I find even when I'm somewhere where I can vape, you know, I usually have my Yukon on me with some dabs or something in it. And when I'm somewhere where even when I can do that, it's still that, you know, even when I'm smoking a regular vape, a nicotine vape, I'm still kind of looking over my shoulder because you never know what somebody's thinking or you never know what the, you know, it's just, it's the shame. And I hope that we can one of these days get rid of that. You know, there's been some scuttlebutt about the cannabis federally becoming legal within the next year and a half. Yep. So sure. When that happens, you know, hopefully we can work towards changing lingo, making it a little bit easier for people to be okay with smoking outside. What were you saying?
They've actually taken one of the first steps for it to become federally legal. The DEA is talking about rescheduling marijuana.
Well, you have to reschedule to decriminalize it down, and then once you can decriminalize it down, then that makes it easier to legalize it across the board. But that also, as we know,
was getting it from a Schedule 1. So I don't remember what they're rescheduling it as, but I want to say like a Schedule 3.
Probably.
So they had it scheduled up there with heroin, fentanyl, LSD, and marijuana are all a Schedule 1 right now.
Correct. We just need to get them all off the schedule, and then we'll be perfectly fine.
More info to people and harm reduction is the key.
Exactly. Yes. I firmly believe that. And that is not, that is something that I think, even we on the community, on the site, we lack that. We're not doing as well, promoting that, at least on our site and other places that I've seen. I think that needs to be an uptick in all the avenues, especially in our psychedelic communities, because, even cannabis, we are seeing things coming through on the black market that have fentanyl in it. We're seeing things coming through that, we have to be testing. It sucks. It really sucks, especially with cannabis. We've got people
to get a trusted vendor on the site for test kits.
Yes. It would be nice, if we could get somebody to do that. But, in the meantime, we can be being proactive. There is a harm reduction group on the site that is a public group. So that means that anything that gets posted in there, everybody on the main feed will see it. And we did that on purpose. That way everybody has access to anything that if anybody is posting, and wants to see it. But I think we do as a community need to make an even harder and more conscious decision to be, being proactive with putting out more, even more information on harm reductions on all kinds of substances. It's so important, especially right now, because like I said, the uptick of fentanyl alone, it's really scary. I think about my kids. I think about the drugs that I did in high school or even, you know, in my 20s, we weren't testing them. Not like we were. Now, when we would go to raves and stuff, the Dance Safe was there. So we could we could test our stuff that way, but we weren't. We were just taking stuff. And I think about, right. And nowadays, I can't even trust people that I actually would trust, because I don't know where their avenue came from.
One of our best friends died because he trusted his friend, his sister-in-law's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And ended up getting hit with fentanyl.
Yeah, actually, that's, we moved the day that I got caught with the acid.
Okay.
The day we got caught with the acid, we moved and our friend died.
Oh my gosh, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry. So let's talk about this. So you did, you just, you got caught with some LSD. So what happened? How did this all go down?
So I, there's a little bit of a backstory, but we'll begin this with, I'm saying I was not smart and I got lucky with everything. So I had a Lancer and I was coming up to Michigan because unfortunately my best friend's dad had just passed away. And, it's also a friend that has been passed away. So his mom was letting me know that his, father had passed away from cancer. So I was coming up to pay my respects and whatnot. My car blows up on the way up here, halfway up to Michigan. Well, after in the process, my wife, Missy Marie, decides that she's just said, screw it, let's move, because we already had this plan to try and move up here to Michigan. Well, I needed to get a new vehicle. I had a friend loan me some money. I get a new vehicle. I literally drive in the same day. I didn't plate the vehicle. I didn't do anything smart with the vehicle. I just hopped in, got gas, went on the freeway, and I'm on my way. I get to her, and I pack up everything. Mind you, this is, we have our collective of life, and so all the stoner paraphernalia, which we have a whole store full of stuff. like, we could probably put on display how much glass we have. It's ridiculous. I like my variety. I like my variety when it comes to smoking pot.
Right.
Spice of life.
So we got all this stuff packed up. I got a couple. I got probably about 3-4 grams of DMT in powdered form. And Freebase, actually, that was put up in a box. I had like 15 paper hits put up in a box with the DMT. We had all kinds of, like I said, scattered paraphernalia. I had a box that was literally nut and butt bongs. And then we were on our way. Well, her uncle calls and he needs us to visit him. So we stopped by and we visited him, and that's where we acquired the two vials of liquid acid.
And diluted liquid acid.
And then on top of getting that, he also hands me a bag of pot. Quite smelly. I knew, I had a feeling in my gut, I knew I should have put all this up in the box.
Right.
But in the same sense, I feel like this is where I lucked out, because I didn't do that. I just threw it in the center console, and then the two vials went in my pocket.
Okay.
So we're going along just fine. It's 70 miles to Michigan.
Right.
And unfortunately, for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, somebody has been in my ear.
I'm screaming, I have to pee, and he's passing every gas station.
Because I was in the zone. I was just driving, and like, I get really bad about it, and you have to remind me every 5 seconds that you need to stop, or we're not stopping.
I understand that completely.
So we're at a slight incline, and the speed limit is 70. I'm doing 77 because I'm more in the mode of get home.
Right.
And as soon as I get over to where I can see again and it flattens out, there's a speed limit change of 65, and there's a sheriff sitting on the other side, or a state trooper is sitting on the other side of the road.
Oh, no. It doesn't
take, yep, it doesn't take but 2 seconds. He's already got his lights on. He's pulling us over. Mm. Well, he could smell the pot, obviously, but I wasn't giving him the pot right away. So he does a field sobriety test while I still have the acid in my pocket.
Oh, gosh.
Mm. He doesn't search me then, though.
It gets better.
I do the field sobriety test perfectly fine. He's still mad. He lets me get back in the car, but he's calling a canine unit. Okay, go ahead, call him. I'm fumbling around with it, trying to figure out, because I figure at this point, you're calling a canine unit, you're probably going to actually pull me out and search me. So how can I hide this without being caught? Because the dog should not smell this.
Right. They wouldn't. Yeah. Not from what I know. Yeah. They wouldn't have even marked it.
No.
But that's in panic mode. And because I wasn't thinking straight, the way that the center console works, there's two parts to it, and one breaks down underneath. Well, I just kind of threw it down there and hoped that they weren't going to look through there, but they ended up looking. So the canine unit comes up to the door, and he smells the weed, and he's actually pretty cool, and he's like, if you give me the bag of weed and whatever else you got, maybe I can get him to back off, and you guys can go about your way. Okay, here's the bag of weed. Here's my pipe. That pissed that cop off whole lot, because at that point he just, okay, now we need to search, and he's just pressing it. While they begin the search, and my poor wife is still having to pee the whole time.
I really need to pee. Can I go across the street behind the closed gas station so I can go pee?
And they wouldn't let her.
They told her no.
Obviously.
And yeah. Then on top of that, we had my dog with us. It's also dead of winter cold, so she's freezing. They set me in the back of a cop car after searching me.
Let me sit outside freezing with the dog while I have to pee.
So I'm watching them search the whole car, and two more cops actually pull up because he called in help.
Oh, okay.
The first one stays for a minute and then just disappears. He doesn't say anything to nobody. He just disappears. Okay, well, that's kind of odd, but whatever. The other one, from me sitting in the cop car, and my wife is literally, like, right there, watches this guy open the box that is packed with bongs, shine a flashlight on it, shake his head, closes the box up, and gets back in his car and leaves.
It says, nope, not today, Satan.
So after those two cops leave, he finds the two vials, and the canine unit is sitting there. He's asking what it is to my wife while I'm still sitting in the cop car.
My response is, I don't fucking know. I've never seen those vials. As far as I know, it's fucking CBD.
And the canine unit actually went along with that and goes, dude, I don't know. It's probably CBD, and the label's just not on it. Just leave it alone. Well, he come back asking me, and that's, I don't know, I just bought the vehicle. I didn't even know that was in there.
Right.
Well, it's going to be pushed off to a lab, and we'll see how this goes. And da-da-da-da-da writes me a ticket, and this is where he was an ass. He took the title, the green title, to the vehicle and kept it. I still have not received the title back for this vehicle, and we no longer have the vehicle.
Wait, why did he take the title?
Because that's the only proof of ownership that we had was the title that we signed.
Yeah.
But why take it? Why not?
I still don't understand. I haven't been able to. Back. I haven't been able, like, nobody's been able to contact this cop to ask him. Nobody's been able to get information.
Because, like you said, that title is what proves that vehicle is yours.
So out of pettiness, he kept it because without that title, we couldn't register it in our name. We couldn't tag it. We couldn't insure it. Essentially making our car dead in the water.
So this all happened in 2021.
Okay.
3 years later.
I go to court to deal with the speeding ticket and being, you know, the paraphernalia possession on the weed and the pipe.
Right.
And not having a plate on the car. Being fictitious plates.
Right.
So I dealt with all that, and the judge said,
to all of you out in the podcast world, we are telling you, do not do these things, or you might also be pulled over and have to go to jail. Just that's a FYI. Okay, continue with your story.
Put plates from a prior car onto
After I got back. So yeah, do not drive, regardless of what anybody tells you, do not drive without a plate. It's just not a good idea. It's asking for trouble.
No plates better than fictitious plates, though.
But yeah, so it's, I go and deal with all this, and the judge says case closed, actually. I paid all my fines. I didn't deal with no jail time, and nothing was ever brought up of the two vials. I'm not asking. Because I just feel like that would be stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I leave, and I have not been back. I've gone through Ohio once or twice to go to Tennessee, but I have not been out of Michigan since then.
I don't blame you.
Well, I dropped off somebody here recently, December 6th. I drop off a buddy. It's this year. So I'm dropping a buddy off December 6th to a job in his vehicle. I leave. GPS takes me a different way. I am stuck behind this guy that he's pulling a trailer, and I understand what he's doing, but he's annoying me because it's 40 and we're going to do 30 and tap our brake every little bend, every little, like, if it's barely an incline, upcline. It didn't matter. This guy's tapping his brake and going down to 25. I get to a point where it's a passing zone, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to pass him. I didn't know that there was a cop sitting up hiding in the wooded grassy area. And apparently you cannot do 60 to pass somebody in a passing zone with the speed limit being 40, no matter what. So I got pulled over.
Yeah.
That's when I found out I had the warrant for psychedelics in Ohio.
Okay, hang on. Psychedelics from 2 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, the vials finally came back, and they finally come back from the lab.
And they didn't notify you of any way? Had you moved and they couldn't find you? Like, I don't understand that.
Well, yeah, that's probably what's going to actually be said, because my license is still for Tennessee, actually, still to this day.
They didn't issue the warrant until February 9th of 2023 because they had to wait for the test results to come back from the crime lab. So his ID, his address on his ID was in Tennessee. So if they did send notice of a warrant, it would have been sent to Tennessee. So he had a fugitive of justice charge on him when he was picked up,
Did you guys do an address change at all?
Yeah, I've done an address change quite a few different times, I don't know.
Like, they did not try to reach out to us because, again, this is Clarion, Ohio, Pauline County, which is very, very podunk, very small. So they probably didn't try to reach out because they did have a fugitive of justice charge on him that is no longer on there because he was extradited back to Ohio. And it happens a lot if, like, say you're on spring break in Florida and you get, like, a DUI and you don't show up, you forget that and don't show up to court. They're going to issue a fugitive of justice charge because it is not their job to notify you that you have a warrant.
Right. That's crazy. Okay, so you get pulled over. Then what happened? You're not even in your vehicle. Right? You're in your buddy's vehicle.
Yep. And why are the cops doing the normal thing? It's taking a little longer than normal because usually I can smoke 2 cigarettes and I get my stuff back handed back to me and we're on our way usually. Well, at this point, I'm smoking a 3rd cigarette and I'm debating on whether or not I should start calling my wife back when he comes up to the door and asks me if I knew I had a warrant for psychedelics in Ohio. Or actually Tennessee is what he said at first.
Right.
And I was like, no, kind of threw me all off. And I mean, he was kind of cool, but he wasn't. So because at this point I realize I'm going to jail, I'm a little overexcited and I'm getting a little loud. He thinks that I am being unruly and I'm not going to go with him calmly. So he started saying something about having to pull me out of the vehicle if I didn't calm down and trying to tell me that everything is okay. And no, sir, I'm going to jail. It is not, everything is not okay.
So I hear the cop telling my husband if he doesn't calm down, he's going to pull him out of the car. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. What do you mean? Like, what are we doing right now? So I started panicking.
But he was nice enough to, so I got to make a call to her, and then he let me make a quick call to my mom, which she didn't answer. It went to voicemail, and I got to leave her a lovely voicemail. But then he took me to Wayne County to be extradited, which, to Podcast World, if you're in Michigan, do not go. If they tell you you're going to Wayne County, run, do whatever you have to, do not go to that place. It sucks.
Love of God, please do not do that.
They make institutionalized food look normal.
Oh, tell me about this experience. Totally. Because when I went to jail, that one thing I remember the most that was the food was inedible. Like it, and it was gray. I remember when it got put in front of me and because I was starving and I remember looking at it and I thought, what is this? Like you couldn't even identify what it was. It was so weird looking. Ugh. What was your food like?
Okay, so they have something that's called, that everybody calls it cow tongue. It's a similar in color experience that you're talking about. It's still got a pinkish color, but it is not like, you can tell there's something wrong with it. It's a very thick slice of bologna, but it's also hot. It comes very hot.
Ugh. Gross.
they serve you, it's kind of quite hilarious. They give you takeout containers there.
What? For real?
Yeah. So the building is scheduled to be demolitioned actually February sometime next month. They're destroying that building and they got a new building that's already built.
This is where they had you at, in this building that's going to get demolished here a little, like, soon?
Yep. They have, like, there's probably about 3 or 4 floors that are completely emptied off of the jail that they're not housing anybody in. They're trying to get everybody out of that jail.
But they put you in the jail that's going to be demolished.
Yep. Anybody that's going to be, like, extradition, things like that, if it was going to, you weren't going to stay long, then okay.
Short term, okay. That's kind of crappy, but whatever. That just kind of shows you how they feel about everybody.
Yep. And that's, I mean,
you to get housed and stuff.
Oh, that's because of the situation of the building. So their washer and dryer broke, which I didn't find this out for almost 2 weeks, actually. It took 10 days for me to get a towel to take a shower.
Oh. Oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
Yep. That's bad. The only nice portions of stuff there was they had a TV, actually. It was, so the way that the pod was set up is that I actually had my own cell that I went inside and I locked the door on you. I could have a bunkie in there with me, but I got lucky and never had a bunkie, actually. I was by myself in a cell by myself most of the time. But the TV was in a common area, and that I actually didn't have any issues with anybody while I was in there.
That's nice. That's good to know. That was the one thing that was, I really hated the most when I was in jail. Of course, the pods that we were in were so overcrowded. There are at least 30 women in the one that they were holding me in. And I there were so many people in there that when I got in with my mattress and my container of stuff, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You go in because you got to put your bed down, then you got to make your bed. And of course, I had to go in and find where I'm going to sleep. And so when I walked in there, the only space that was available was right by the door, right behind the door. So that's where I threw my mattress, and that's where I, was at. So yeah, I understand. That's why I say, oh, it's so nice. You could go by yourself, man. That would have been love. I could have made it through if I had to stay a little bit longer. If I could have been in my own cell, I probably would have been. But I wasn't.
That was
Brandon Porter.
That was the nicer part of it. So, if you're ever going to jail for any. when you go to intake and the nurse is giving you all those rundown questions, especially the mental health ones, don't act crazy if you don't want to go to hell.
Yeah,
because you will go to a place where they like to strip you. I was stripped of all my clothes, and I was given this stupid toga Velcro mat thing that does not Velcro.
Oh.
I went for 2 days up to that floor because they're going through and they're asking me how I felt and things like that, and all I did was the lady said something about, I can't remember what she said, but she said something to piss me off, and I was like, well, of course I'm gonna be hopeless.
Oh,
and that was it.
Yeah. So while he's in there naked and not Velcroed, he also can't call anybody for those 2 days. So now I'm like, okay, so my husband's in jail and I know nothing. So, of course, you always think the worst.
And you're on total lockdown. That's going to the hole.
Right. It's duly noted. Don't act crazy if you're not when you go to jail. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went, how long were you in jail? How long were you there?
So I spent about 20, 21 days in Wayne County. And then I got extradited to lovely Ohio, which their jail was surprisingly super nice. The people were super nice and they cook real food.
Oh, that's good to know.
The only difference there is so you don't get your own cell or anything. It's like a pod system, but they actually had bunk set up. It's a newer jail. It was built in 2007, apparently.
And phone calls are expensive.
And phone calls are expensive there. It's $1 a minute, baby.
They have to pay for that new jail. That's why.
And then the only other nicety that they had there actually is so the toilet, shower, bathroom situation actually had its own door and whole area.
That is important. For those of you that have never been in jail, that's important because you don't sit in front of a whole bunch of people you really don't know because it's kind of intimidating. Yep. That's good.
Yep. Yeah, that was nice. But yeah, so I spent a few days in Ohio, which I was actually their mats were even nice, actually, the way that their mat was built. So it was flat. And then the portion where your head goes and everything was built way up, almost like it had a pillow built into it.
Well, that's love, because the old school ones are they're like
beat the shit and
yeah, you have to roll up the mattress to kind of get like a pillow under it, and then it would like pop out. So yeah, that's good. That's a great design. I'm glad they've upped the prison pillow mattress. So that's
that one was nice.
Not everywhere, just there.
Oh, just there. Just there. Don't misquote me.
It's even like the people that all the CEOs and everybody that run it, they're very, very, very nice there, actually. Like, they were even very nice when I got bailed out, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So that's, I spent a few days in Ohio, and then somebody here on DMT World actually was awesome and sent a donation of $400 to come bail me out.
And now the whole time, from the time he went to jail in Michigan to the time I went and bailed him out in Ohio, we have had people from DMT World giving me donations. You guys were the reason I was able to talk to my husband on a regular basis, and the reason that we could even talk about him getting commissary and the items that he needed if he was going to be there longer. But like he said, we did have one person on DMT World that was like, hey, here, go bring him home. Like the receipt, the comment on the receipt was, bring him home. I kind of got a good chuckle out of that.
That's because we and care. We cared. We cared enough because you were going through it just as much as he was. And so we knew it, we could feel it. And that's what we do in this community is we take care of our own, and you guys are our own. So I know that's why they all stepped up for you guys, because you guys mean just as much to us as the community means to you. So I'm glad that the community came through for you and helped you out. And I know they're still helping you guys out as much as they possibly can. And I think that's amazing. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I absolutely love the community, and I hope that I can help in many ways when I'm in a position.
And I'm sure you will. You guys do a lot just for support. You do a lot to help people understand it's okay to be different, to think different, to have different lifestyles of interest and thoughts. And you guys have always been a firm supporter of that alone, because we have a lot happening in our community that a lot of times gets one-sided or other sides, and you guys are always there to help support this other side. And that, I think, is important to have in a community. It keeps us balanced. And I like to thank you for doing that for us, because like I said, that's important for people who may not gel with the everyday things, everyday religions, everyday things. And it's important to have other people to help them understand that that's okay. And so that's good. So you got out of jail. What are we looking at now? What's going to happen for the future with all of this? Do you know what you're looking at now?
So
that's the heavy part.
This is the part that it's we'll see. We're on our way back to Ohio to go for first appearance on this. And unfortunately, my buddy, the one that I took to December 6th that I took to work, it was his car that broke down in Ohio, unfortunately. Still sitting in Ohio.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yep. And we were about 60 miles away from court.
A half mile from the tow road exit is where we broke down.
Yeah, so we had to walk a half mile to the nearest exit. Thankfully, some random person actually just picked us up and gave us a ride, so we weren't freezing.
Oh, that's good.
Somebody had to throw away a pipe.
Yeah, and we actually, unfortunately, I had a grinder and weed thinking the vehicle was going to be okay, and I wanted to smoke after I got out of court. Well, I didn't want to leave it there for a cop to find it if they actually, you know, went through the vehicle reason. So I had to carry it with us, and then when I realized that we couldn't take it into court, I had to, unfortunately, make the wife throw it out.
Oh, that's sad.
At least it wasn't a whole lot, but...
Yeah, but still, it's always sad when you have to lose a piece. This is probably why you always have pieces.
Yep. That's I have many for a reason.
I understand completely. Trust me.
But so I actually, it was a very, very quick little ordeal in court, actually. I think we were there for a total of 30 minutes after I got into the courthouse. And the judge is extremely nice. She actually input a plea of not guilty to move to trial. And the public attorney that she gave me, he seems extremely cool so far. I've already talked to him a couple times.
And they jumped without paperwork being
filed. Yeah, there's been no paperwork filed. I'm supposed to, there was supposed to be paperwork given to me to file for being indigent, obviously, for being a public defender. And that has not been filled out. They've not asked me about it or anything. If they do, obviously, I'll fill it out, but.
Right.
Attorney, I'm trying to look through real quick. Where is it?
Yeah, you're fine.
I have Tom Grunsky, actually. He's from Toledo. The pre-trial date is reset for February 20th at 9:30, and he is, since the first one, when my first pretrial date was February 13th, before he got it changed, he's been trying to make sure and see if I can be on, like, a video chat, on a Zoom call, or if I have to really actually be there until the final actual date
right.
for the trial to keep me from having to travel back and forth.
And that's right. Like doing it over Zoom, like when I had to go before the judge for when I went to jail and everything, we did it over Zoom. So I hope that's how they can do it for you guys. Cause that it helps. That way you don't have to go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. It's definitely a stressor on that one.
Yeah.
But from the first time that I talked to him, all they've given him right yet is the written police report. And the first thing he actually asked me is, what's up with this police report? Because this is not very well written. Like, how did this traffic stop actually go down? And had many, many questions about all of it.
Oh, that's good. Then that's really good.
He said he doesn't know for sure to say that it'd be like a slam dunk. But we stand a pretty good shot, and from the rescheduling point, he is asking if they they didn't have body cams at that point in time, apparently. Only dash cams, and if they've lost the dash footage, then he's going to file for a motion to suppress to try and get it dismissed.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it took this long, you guys, you didn't even know you had a warrant out for psychedelics on your, like, that's.
So, not saying.
But yes, what I'm actually facing, if this doesn't go my way, is, I forget exactly
it's a fifth degree felony.
Okay.
It's a felony drug possession. Of the fifth degree, so it can be up to a year.
Is it a felony or is that a misdemeanor?
It's a felony.
Okay.
It can be doing up to 12 months in prison and up to $2,000 in fine.
$2,500.
Okay. Well, it's all a business, that we know that, so.
And so they just want money.
Right. And, you know, this permanent record they used to tell us about as we grew up, you know, we were all afraid that shit was going to get put on our permanent record. Well, okay. Permanent record.
That's me after school.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope that goes on my permanent record.
Eighth grade, I'm looking at my teacher going, hey, you got to put that in my permanent record. It's going to go to high school with me, right?
Exactly. So is there any way to get this expunged?
No.
So he was talking about if they offer a
post plea diversion.
No, he called it something else. I want to say a disposition or something like that.
No, he said
he might have said diversion, but
a diversion program. That's what he called
basically,
it.
Basically, if they do offer it, what's going to happen?
Is this your first drug offense?
It's my first felony getting caught.
Well, okay. Well,
it's not our first drug offense.
Well, that you know what I meant. Take that got caught. That is on paper. I mean,
I have a misdemeanor in Tennessee for paraphernalia,
and I have simple possession.
Oh, so you can tell. Yeah, this is your first major like felony that.
Yeah. Okay.
Which that's good because the diversion can get it taken off.
Yep, and that's basically
he didn't use it for his misdemeanor.
Basically, okay. I would be put on probation, and I'd have to jump through all their hoops.
Has it gone that far to where you have applied for that?
Not yet.
We
had the arraignment.
Yeah,
we're waiting on the pretrial date, which could be over Zoom, and then so either at the pretrial date. He will accept or deny a plea bargain, and that will determine if we go to trial. If we go to trial, then there'll be a jury selection and a trial date that will have to be done in person. So depending on how the next court date goes, depends on how much longer we have to go forward with this. But the next court date should be the date where they offer the diversion program.
I hope that's the direction we get to go on this. That's what I feel is what's going to happen.
We're really hoping that.
I'm hoping they lost the video.
That we get a dismissal of all charges without having to go to a pretrial or trial date. That would be the absolute best outcome.
And they may just look at this and be like, this isn't even worth our time. Like,
oh, no, it's definitely worth their time. If it would have been like one more vial, it would have been trafficking.
Yeah, but it took so long to get to this point. Like, at this point in time.
If they've already issued the warrant, they don't care about time.
Yeah, they don't care. That's why they're just, but again, it's just like, it might be easier to not have to lock him up for extended minute.
We're hoping what they look at is that they're a small county with small county money, and don't want to try.
That's what I mean with them. It's not worth their time. It's not worth them spending the amount of money that they're going to yeah. make, and even their time, like their actual time.
Right. Yeah. No, it just depends though, because if they're going to charge him $2,500 in fines and it's only going to cost them $1,500 to prosecute, then they still get their money plus some.
That's but right, because it's just a business.
$3,000 to prosecute and you're only getting half that back, then they're not going to want to go to trial. They're going to want to make that plea deal so that they can get some kind of money.
And that's, I think it just needs, they just need to find you, get it over with, and then you guys just need to move on with your life. That's the ideal way for it to go, because, well, it's silly to be locking anybody up for psychedelics, in my opinion, especially up in that area, because, well, we're all using them anyways, and we're trying to use them for therapy, and so, I mean, that's just how it is.
It's just beyond me when there's ketamine clinics, you're going to us up for using mushrooms and a virus that grows on wheat.
Right.
On water. Right. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And like when I was in the Bible Belt, my defense was, well, you guys want to preach the Bible so much. Does it not say in the Bible that he put everything here on earth for us to consume?
Yes.
And to use. Like, so. Yeah. If it's here, if it grows naturally, F off and let me have it.
So, what do we do from this point on?
We wait.
I'm just waiting on my attorney. I'm currently looking for work, actually, up here. And
trying to get our car fixed.
I'm basically at square one. Like, before all this happened and I got caught, our plan was honestly to move up here, I was wanting to get a building actually in Ann Arbor and start growing mushrooms at a more professional scale.
Well, you may be able to still. It may be in the plan still. We don't know yet. We just gotta take it as the days come, one by one. Yep. Missy, yeah. You have a GoFundMe account. Is that correct? That's set up. And anybody wants to donate to your GoFundMe account, they can find it on the website, on the DMT World website.
And it will go to helping fix the car, paying our rent, lights, keeping us afloat until we can get back to work.
And speaking of, Dave's not here. Going to make a shout out to him, actually. He's coming by today to actually help us with the rest of rent.
Wonderful. We're glad that he's in our community and that he can help you guys out. That's amazing.
Yes, he was our godsend this time because I got a letter in the mail from our leasing office saying that we had 7 days to pay our rent or vacate our apartment.
Oh gosh.
Before we get evicted. So we have until February 10th to come up with $1,093 to keep us in this apartment.
Yep, that's hard. It's so hard. So hard. You also have a few things in our marketplace on the site. Is that correct, Missy? You got soaps, you've got some spell bottles, some other things that are in there that people can check out.
I got some, like, the things I do have listed, I have handmade soaps, I have spell jars. I do more things than what I have on there just because I've been lazy about putting it out.
They can reach out to you for, like, a list or a menu of your legal items. Yeah. That you sell. Okay. Also,
custom crap, so.
Right. And I did see that you're doing a blog, is that right? That people can sign up for $1 to... And what is that about?
I'm actually just doing it to put it out there right now because I have to upgrade the website for me to be able to charge the $1. Yeah. So it's just gonna be like my everyday little life journey, just random thoughts, random advice, my journey with psychedelics, without psychedelics, my battles with BPD and mental health issues, just somewhere so people can feel like there's somebody that relates to them.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we're about at our hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. It was super fun. I'm glad that I got both of you on here. That made this even more fun because I always see you both as a team anyways. You know, there's certain people in our community that are a husband-wife team that when I think of one, I've always think of the other. And that's how I view both of you. I love you both individually as well. Don't get me wrong, but I really like that I got to have both of you in this interview because you guys are this solid team. I think you are a great married couple because you do take care of each other and it's very prevalent. And those are the things that I like to see, especially when it comes to couples that are solid in our community. So I just want to say thank you. We'll give you this opportunity to, at the end of the podcast, I like to let the people that I'm interviewing say something to the community, anything that's impending upon your heart or you want them to know about you. And I'll let you both do it individually. So we'll start with Missy. If you have anything you want to say to the community, this is your opportunity.
Just thank you for everything. You guys have shown more love and support than hell. Even some of my family members have. Like, just the outpouring of love whenever my husband went to jail, like, that was overwhelming in such a beautiful way. Like, if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't have been able to talk to him. I would have went crazy. I swear I would have. But, like, y'all have been just really true friends and family from the get-go, and thank you for just accepting me for who I am.
Absolutely. We love you. Okay, now it's your turn, Kratos. What do you want to say to the community?
Just thank you guys for being you and accepting me as me, actually. I'm trying to be a whole lot more active. I'm definitely going to be on a lot more and be more a part of the community than I've ever been, because you guys are absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you. Thank you so much for accepting the invite, being on this. Thank you, Missy, for joining in. It was super fun. And with that being said, keep ascending, friends.